It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Walpole Tire, and Fairway Carts. Now here's your host for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 9, Episode 9 of Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. Give us a call on the Fairway Carts and Minden hotline or send us a text on the text line 888-993-7762. We were talking about this a little bit at the end of the sports company here on ESPN Radio 97.7 just a little bit ago, but we'll open the show with the devastating news around the Tech family of Jacquees Dancy's diagnosis of stage 3 Hodgkin's lymphoma. Hodgkin's lymphoma. He is undergoing treatment at St. Jude's Hospital in Memphis. He is not the first football player to have this and beat it. He has a very, very good chance of beating this cancer. Current Pitt running back has beaten it. He sent out his well wishes on Twitter last night, or actually today. Also, current Kansas City Chief defensive back and former Tennessee Volunteer Eric Berry also battled Hodgkin's lymphoma and conquered it, was a Pro Bowler the following year after beating it. This is something that is very beatable for Mr. Dancy. And he knows that the Tech family is out there praying for him, giving him all the support that a man could ever need battling this awful disease. I was tipped off on it, Matt, a week ago yesterday, and you get that kind of news. It takes me back to probably the worst story that I've ever covered while running BleedTechBlue.com was Tyrone Duplessis' death. It took me back to that day. And I'm not saying that he's going to die. We just got through saying that he's got a very good chance of beating this. But it's that kind of gravity whenever you hear the word cancer. Of course, you hear it initially, and in this business, you don't go off of just one source.
No. This is the kind of thing that transcends sports. Like you hear this kind of news, and of course you see the support like James Conner and Eric Berry and guys that have beaten it, and then you've got players from rival teams and guys from teams that Tech may have never played or hadn't played in 20-something years.
Yeah.
They just have no association whatsoever, but this is the kind of thing that transcends sports. It's bigger than sports, and that's when rivalries get put to the side whenever...
It's life and death.
Yeah, it's way more important than who wins a football game, and it's really great to see just the amount of the outpouring of sympathy and well wishes to Dancy, his family, and the Tech football team in general. Because you've got to know that they're probably feeling this too. I mean, not every day that a teammate gets diagnosed with cancer.
If you were observant, you might have seen the sticker on the back of their helmets Saturday. It said it had a number 20 with a word "compete" over it. Xavier Woods, and he's part of the leadership council on the Louisiana Tech football team, came to Coach Holtz and said, "We want to do something so that he can be remembered. He can remember that we're all playing for him and thinking about him while he's watching us play." I thought it was an incredible gesture, And seeing that Saturday gave me chills, to be totally honest. That was awesome. You talked about the other players across the country that have tweeted at him. Richie James, he retweeted me after I tweeted it yesterday, the great wide receiver at Middle Tennessee State. Brent Stockstill, I think, replied to a tweet Sean Isabella sent out yesterday. some Western Kentucky players have replied. Some of the FAU play-by-play announcers had retweeted it. Like you said, this transcends sports. Awful deal. And it really hits close to home for everybody listening inside the ESPN 97.7 listening radius. Junction City, his hometown Summerfield. That's all within the sound of our voices right now. And his family is being affected by this, and the communities all around us are. And he would appreciate all your prayers. I know that for a fact. Getting into some football after that somber moment here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. A great performance by Louisiana Tech Saturday in Foxborough, Massachusetts, in front of maybe 15 people. I'm not sure exactly how many UMass folks. It was mostly band people. 3,000 people for high school band members were there.
I don't understand. I'm sure that there is a reason behind it, playing in such a massive stadium, but
I would imagine it's because they're playing they're independent. They don't have a conference affiliation. So you're trying to get teams that would not come to their 17,000 seat on campus stadium to come and play them otherwise, like a Mississippi State.
I mean, but what
what good does it do them?
Yeah, no, what good does it do to be in a massive stadium like that, that sitting in front of a crowd that wouldn't even fill the stadium that they decided not to play in? I mean, it's, I guess, just the facilities? I don't know. I did see
some people tweet that Tom Brady was walking around before the game began. That's kind of neat for Tech to see him.
It's something there.
Ryan Allen was on the sideline, of course, former Louisiana Tech punter, the two-time Ray Guy Award winner, best punter in the country. The just so happens to be the Patriots punter was strutting the sidelines.
He's up in the press box at halftime with Dave Nitz doing a interview.
He's a good guy and represents Louisiana Tech in a first class way. And then there's a little bit of a performance by one Carlos Henderson Saturday.
Historic. That's the word that keeps kind of popping into my head. You can say, yeah, it's a career day for Carlos Henderson, but not many guys. I don't think any have gotten 350 yards receiving and 5 touchdowns in a game. I'm pretty sure. I think I saw that on Tech's Twitter account.
Well, I think that Troy Edwards has the Tech's record and really an NCAA record. That he was 70 yards. Was that right? 80 yards away from that record. He had more touchdowns, I believe.
Yeah,
or tied that record for that record. So it was a monumental day. 12 catches, 326 yards, 27.2 yards a catch. 5 touchdowns, a long of 83. Trent Taylor, 9 catches, 126 yards, average of 14 yards a catch. And then Jared Kraft, 3 catches, 25 yards. Connor Smith, 1 for 9. Marlon Watts, 1 for 7. And Cam McKnight had 1 for a -2 yard loss. Ryan Higgins is really distributing the football now. You wanted to see more than one on those. But whenever you're making people defend you, everybody on the field.
Yeah, no. And I think at the beginning of the season, his issue was Trent Taylor was his guy, and he kind of forced it to him in some situations. But now that Henderson has established himself as a credible threat, and you've got all these other guys kind of stepping up and the offense playing as well as they are, it's making Higgins' job a lot easier.
Oh, without a doubt. And you look at the rushing numbers. Jared Kraft, 16 carries for 93 yards, a 5.8-yard carry average along a 20. And then Boston Scott, 7 carries, 97 yards, a 13.9-yard carry average with a long of 71. Love seeing that guy get some action and bust a long one, because Boston's a class act. Easily one of the most liked guys on the team. Jamar Smith, he got in some mop-up duty, 1 for 1 passing for 7 yards, had a one rush for 11, and Cam McKnight, every time they line up in that T-bone package, it seems like it goes to him, but it works.
Yeah.
And why does it work? You know it's coming.
I can't say that I understand the intricacies of
the T-bone package.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever works, works, and Holtz has it figured out. I mean, I'm not going to say that it's an awful idea to keep putting him out there, even though the other team should probably know what's happening, but it doesn't seem like they can do anything about it.
Andrew Ford, the quarterback for UMass, it was concerning at one point. He was 11 for 11, I believe, was the number. That's not going to get it done. And Andrew Ford is not a world beater at quarterback.
No.
They did make UMass drive the length of the field, never gave up any big plays, which we've said time and time again, that's what this defense is going to do. They did force some turnovers, the strip sack by
finally
Jalen Ferguson, and then an interception by Xavier Woods, which was Xavier had to catch it, but the ball, why in the world did he throw that ball?
It's, I don't know, maybe going up against a shaky defense put his confidence up a little bit. I don't know.
It's crazy.
Every quarterback has that moment where
he lets it go and he's like, I shouldn't have thrown that. Adam Brenneman, the tight end, Penn State transfer from UMass. We knew that was a matchup that was not favorable for Tech. Tech didn't give up a touchdown to him, but he did have 7 catches for 94 yards. And then the speedster, that's who they kind of kept him in check. Andy Isabella, 5 catches, 42 yards,
yeah.
1 touchdown. He got a touchdown late. They did a really good job against him. But it's the tight end across the middle of the field that's concerning. And I defensively, I think they're getting better still. We'll talk more about that in the next segment. We're getting close to this break. I don't want to get into that discussion before that break. But we talked to Frank Smith last week from the UMass football blog about the Minutemen and their struggles. And he said, the field goal kicker's not good.
Nah.
And that might be the understatement of the century. They have the worst field goal kickers in America.
Chip shots just going. I mean,
they were
both guys 0 for 2. They hit four
extra points.
Yeah, somehow. All 4 extra points were still good, but I think that's just because, I mean, how I could hit an extra point.
We might need to get you out there and try it. It's not very easy.
I couldn't do anything. I couldn't unseat Jonathan Barnes. Don't. I mean, if you send me up to UMass and willing to pay my tuition or anything, then I'd consider it. But yeah, extra points. That's totally different from.
And while we're talking poorly about special teams on the UMass side,
I know where you're going with this.
Louisiana Tech special teams have much room to improve.
Yeah. No. That's.
The kick coverage and punt cover teams are dreadful.
They are.
Dreadful.
They are. And even our punters aren't doing them any favors.
Well, I actually thought Gerald Schaus
did better.
He punted well. He averaged 43.5 yards a punt. Now, we won't talk about net punting because I don't even have that stat in front of me.
No, it was a good game, but overall this season it hasn't looked good in the slightest.
He struggles with consistency, and I know that he would say that himself. But that's Tech's got to improve in punting, punt coverage, and kick coverage. It's not good right now. I really think kick return is another place that they're struggling. Alfred Smith, it's not finding a whole lot of room to run. They put Carlos Henderson back there a couple of times. I don't really like that.
No, you don't want to risk that.
Not the year he's having and as injury prone as he's been in his past.
Boston Scott got back there once.
He got a good return of 23 yards.
23, yeah.
So that's special teams is the biggest concern on this roster in my opinion, and it's really not even close. The defense is improving. The numbers don't look like they are, but they're improving. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk a little bit more about the defense and what they did do Saturday that was much better. and why it worked. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. We're brought to you by Trent Interiors in downtown Ruston. Go see those folks for all your interior decorating needs. Very talented folks on that staff. They'll do you right. Also, give us a call on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline, 888-993-7762. Send us a text on that same number. Give us your thoughts on the UMass game, what you expect out of FIU, what you want to hear us talk about for the next hour and 15 minutes. Here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, 888-993-7762. The Tech defense against UMass blitzed so much more than they had all year. And I asked Baker specifically about it, and he said, yes, they did, and it's because they were getting back to what makes this defense successful, and that's pressure.
Put pressure on the quarterback, especially a guy like Andrew Ford who hadn't had any of the UMass quarterbacks, they haven't had solid years. So you put them under pressure, mistakes are going to happen, and Tech finally had a pretty decent amount of turnovers for, considering how lacking they were in turnovers at the beginning of the season. What was it? It was an interception for Xavier Woods, who had a fumble recovery.
Russell Ferris, the fumble recovery for a touchdown.
Pressure, it worked. And I hate to say it, but the rest of the way, the offenses that they play, barring Southern Miss, about the same as UMass. There's a lot of question marks, not a lot of consistency. So I could absolutely see them continuing that for the rest of the year. I'm not going to claim to know what the game plan is going to be for Southern Miss or anything along those lines. I'm no expert by any means, but up until that game, don't be surprised to not see them bring pressure consistently.
The thing that interests me most about that Southern Miss game is Tech's got a bye the week before that. They may have the last year as well. It was somewhere late in the year last year. But you know that Holtz has a bad taste in his mouth, and that entire roster has a bad taste in their mouth after the way that Southern Miss game went last year. I'm very interested to see how that one turns out. It'll be a battle for sure down in Hattiesburg the Saturday or Friday. The Friday after the Thanksgiving. Friday I won't be there. I'll be up on the East Coast for Thanksgiving.
I'm gonna attempt to go. I don't know. I'll see if my parents will let me duck out on Thanksgiving
Tell them
early.
I am going, Mom and Dad.
The open date last year was Saturday, November 14th. After the open date, they went to UTEP, and then they played Southern Miss the week after that.
So it's not as quiet as – and this isn't ideal. No. You don't want your open date to be week 11. You really would like it to be week 5, week 6.
But there's probably a method to that madness.
There's not. It's all random. It's all done by the conference.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
They could have filled the date. It's possible that. And see, the thing is
depends
what
on,
comes to what
depends
comes
on
to
what
mind,
what the rest of the conference slate where their schedules fell as well.
Yeah, but what comes to mind whenever I see an open date before a game against Southern Miss is exactly what, dare I say it, LSU does every year with Alabama. They take that bye week before the Alabama game every year for at least the past 5 years, as long as I can remember, because that week, that game against Alabama is basically our Southern Miss.
Yeah.
For Tech, Southern Miss is like Alabama.
It's a rival.
It's a rivalry game that always carries implications for the conference title. So having a bye week, even as late as it is, will let the team come in, be refreshed, and have a great chance at winning. And last year, you could blame it on the travel. UTEP's not a close game. Doing that right before such a huge game at Southern Miss, maybe they learned. Maybe they kind of figured it out, or either that or it just kind of fell randomly, like you said, to the perfect timing. But yeah, they definitely didn't attempt to fill that date.
Sure. There's a couple of questions on the Bleed Tech Blue message board. There was, in case you missed it, Holtz said that they actually benched Carlos Henderson for the third quarter. You bench a guy that put up 320-something yards. How many yards would have he put up if he played the third quarter?
There's no telling. I mean, against that defense, the way that they were playing, the momentum that they had.
They weren't happy with the way that he ran his routes. He was not doing as he was told. And the discipline was, you're going to ride the pine.
Yeah. I mean,
the follow-up question by I think Sean Isabella's Monday was, well, who does, if it applies to if it, and it turnovers, I think some of Tech's best players had the turnovers, namely being Ryan Higgins. And the question was, if it applies to Carlos, does it apply to Ryan Higgins for turnovers and that kind of thing? And Colt said yes. But it's going to take
a lot.
I mean, you got to look at Ryan Higgins' full body of work.
Yeah, no.
He had the FBS longest streak of consecutive passes without an interception until Saturday. You don't just forget that.
No.
He's going to have a awful game, 4 or 5 interception game where his turnovers lose the game for Louisiana Tech for him to even be remotely thought of seeing the bench.
Yeah, no, one turnover against UMass after going how many, 200-something attempts without an interception, 22 touchdowns on the year, 3 interceptions. That doesn't scream bench material to me. That's
no, and it's, I'm not saying, I mean, that Sean's making stuff up. It's just, and that's part, it is, Holtz did say it. It applies to everybody. But he's not anywhere close to the point where it's time to be benched. And Holtz didn't say that he was close, and he didn't say he wasn't close. He was just answering the question.
Yeah. And every player, no play, and that's good coaching. No player is above taking it upon themselves and not following the rules. And that's why Henderson rode the bench for the third quarter, despite having this incredible game. It, just because you're having that good of a game doesn't mean that you're above coaching. That speaks to Holtz and his staff for taking
holding his feet to the fire. Let's go to the Fairway Carts Amendment Hotline with Marcel. Marcel, what's going on, my man?
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. I heard you on this talking a little bit about Ryan Higgins, and I had to call. I'm gonna tell you what. I followed Tech every year for 30 years. I don't care if it was Driscoll or Sokol or whoever it was. These people need to get off Ryan Higgins. That guy throws the prettiest pass. He hits these guys in stride. They're not reaching behind them. They're not reaching out. They're catching the pass where they can do something after the catch. There's a big reason that Taylor and Henderson, although they are talented, but they're not the only reason that they're 1-2 or whatever they are in the nation. Ryan Higgins needs to get his due. That man is the real deal. I expect you'll see him on Sunday. It's hard to find somebody who can throw a ball in that 1-foot window that you have to make a play go from 8 yards and a tackle to 45 yards and a touchdown.
I don't disagree with you, Marcel. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, man. Marcel brings up good points.
He did. No, that's absolutely right. I mean,
and he misses his throws, but every quarterback's going to. When you throw the ball, if you average how many passes he has a game, he's throwing it 40 times a game or so.
Something like that. It's a
lot. You're going to miss some.
He's not going to go 40 for 40. If you show me a quarterback that goes 40 for 40, I mean, yeah.
Even Tom Brady doesn't do that.
No. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Roethlisberger, none of those guys go 40 for 40 in a game, despite having talented receivers like Antonio Brown, Wes Welker, Marvin Harrison back in his day.
Just the list, or even Randy Moss.
Yeah, no, nobody's perfect.
So yeah, And he struggles the most with the stuff in the short stuff. But yeah, that's the hardest throw to make because it takes touch.
That's where he's happy to have Trent Taylor, who's really great in the slot in those short passes. And that's where I would argue Trent Taylor's gotten most of his yards there.
And the swing passes to the running backs, he's missed some of those this year. But that's not an easy throw to make.
Something that he can work on, but the fact that he does have such talent around him makes it a bit easier.
Oh, for sure.
And he's definitely getting his due now. I mean, you look at the awards that the entire offense has been racking up over the past couple of days. I mean, it took a little while, but he is getting his due. And if somebody still thinks that Jamar needs to be above him,
they're blind.
And that's what I'm writing in my column about in the Tech Talk this week is like, I was a Higgins detractor. I was just not.
You are.
I was. And I couldn't tell you why for the first few weeks. I just remembered those stats from 2013. And I just remember the times that he would come in relief for Driscoll last year. And I didn't want to see it, but he's done extremely well at silencing his critics and putting it all behind him. And now he's getting national recognition. I mean, that's all the more credit to him.
I think the Sugar Bowl put him out again this week as another quarterback to watch because of his numbers. We've already gone through his numbers. They were eye popping at UMass. And yes, his receivers are very good, and it's a little bit of both. Henderson is number one in the country in yardage per game. I think Trent Taylor's number two in yardage per game. Henderson leads the country in receiving touchdowns. It's a little bit of both. You wouldn't have the one of one without the other, and they all three deserve as much credit as they can receive. All that being said, they've got to avoid a letdown this week, and I think that the news of Dancy and having something other than a conference championship to play for, playing for your brother that's struggling, fighting a battle with cancer, that will help with their motivation. Not that they ever need motivation, but there's sometimes, and there are games on a schedule that are trap games, and this one to me has the makings of one.
It does. Another long road trip against a team that is kind of been inconsistent this year. After coming back from Boston, now going to Miami, I mean that's
and they're
rough.
They're playing a team that fired their coach and has an interim coach, and they're 3-0 in the conference. Now, granted, they probably played three of the worst teams in the conference.
Charlotte.
But
Charlotte being one, UTSA away from
UTEP,
home.
UTEP.
UTEP? I thought they were, okay. Yeah, no, UTEP. And
FAU.
FAU.
I mean, you look at those three, they may be the worst three teams in the conference.
Barring Rice.
Yeah, exactly. Outside
of
Rice.
But still, yeah. I mean,
his Rice is probably the worst.
And that's why you have to take stats, records, everything with a grain of salt. You have to look a bit more into it.
And the full body of work. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk a little Conference USA football. Look at the week ahead. Look at the week last week. See what happened here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I watch as you get worse. My script is through the... Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Matt Valcho joining me here in studio this week. John Tabor on the board, as always, producing the show. We're presented by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston on South Trenton Street in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Give us a call on the Fairway Cards and Menden Hotline. Like Marcel did, 888-993-7762. Send us a text to the same place, 888-993-7762. One note that I forgot to mention when I was talking about Jacquees Dancy. It's my understanding that Louisiana Tech is working on ways for people to give to Jacquees to help he and his family through this time financially. It's just some sticky stuff with a student athlete in the NCAA. I'm sure there's rules that allow this to happen because this isn't the first time this kind of situation has occurred. But Louisiana Tech will be putting out things in the coming days on how you can support Dancy and his family.
They'll be figuring it out. And until then, if you want to give well wishes to Dancy and his family, Louisiana Tech has asked that you use on Twitter, use the hashtag #DogsForDancy and just send him messages of encouragement. I'm sure at some point, somebody in his family or even himself, he'll be looking through those just to see that everybody's with him.
He's been replying to several people who have mentioned him specifically on Facebook. He's seeing all everything. I know he is. So just continue doing what you're doing, because it's a big deal, and he's definitely appreciating all the support that everybody is offering him during this time. Last week, of course, Louisiana Tech beats UMass 56-28 in Foxborough, Massachusetts, in a non-conference game. There were some conference games while my computer loads slowly.
I've got them.
You've got them, aren't you?
The most important one, that matchup in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Western Kentucky 44, Middle Tennessee 43 in double overtime. That's huge for the
puts Tech
season.
In the driver's seat right now to host a Conference USA championship game in Shreveport to end the season.
It's not being here, but that's in home territory.
You're okay with it being over there, because that means your press box and your suites are being built.
Yeah, that's how the administration's got to look at it. But it's still a home game. And I know a pretty decent amount of people would be there just because it is a conference title game. And I would even argue that you wouldn't have as many empty seats student-wise, because they would probably have to pay a little bit for a ticket and they'll have to take the time to get over there. So who's going to want to leave early? I mean, the Lord knows
we've seen that.
Yeah, well, still. That is a huge plus for Louisiana Tech, and very close to Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee. I caught the tail end of it. Good game.
It was a good game.
High-scoring shootout, but good game.
It was ending while Tech's game was going on, correct?
Yeah.
I didn't flip over to it for that reason. I'm pretty entrenched when Tech games are going on, for obvious reasons. but LSU hosted Southern Miss. First half was at halftime, it was 10-10.
Speech had to have done. I don't know.
I don't know. I guess it was Southern Miss was trying to slow the game down to get the clock to tick on by. But
can only do that for so long, though.
LSU opened it up, beats them 45-10.
Probably a halftime speech by a old Cookie Monster Ed.
Do you think they can understand a word he said?
I think so. I think they're used to it. But Danny Etling put up 276 yards. Darius Geis filling in for Leonard Fournette, 162, and Malachi Dupree, my roommate. His family season ticket holders, and he was telling me Dupree, he hadn't shown up much this year, so having a 100-yard game is probably good for his confidence. But
and that bodes well for Louisiana Tech going forward, is to see the number of yards LSU put up through the air against Southern Miss. We talked about the Western Kentucky game. Florida International, Tech's opponent Saturday.
Narrow win.
Squeaks by Charlotte, who, in case you're wondering, Charlotte's been playing football for maybe this might be their third year.
Yeah.
Marshall squeaks by Florida Atlantic at home. Marshall is not very good this year.
No. It's honestly kind of sad to see. They were really good for years, and it's odd to see it completely just come crashing down.
UTSA narrowly beats Rice.
Another road game for
it's
UTSA.
It's unbelievable how different they are on the road.
That's like, it's the most bizarre two-face transformation from being on the road, being at home. A team like Rice, who's now 0-6.
And there were honestly as many UTSA fans in Rice's stadium as there were Rice fans.
I guess it's just not echoing as much. I don't know, but 14-13 is that's not
setting the game of football back about 20 years.
Yeah.
You look at this coming week, North Texas travels to Army, who's playing really good football right now. That'll be a tough battle for North Texas. I don't see how they pull that one out. Prairie View travels to Rice for homecoming.
Maybe they can get a win.
Maybe they'll be 1-6 after playing Prairie View. Although Prairie View is 4-2 in the SWAC.
Yeah, you'd never put it past them.
Tennessee travels to Missouri. That could be an opportunity for Middle Tennessee to get an SEC victory. They lost to Kentucky earlier in the year. Missouri is not very good. That'll be a good one to see on the SEC network. Charlotte travels to Marshall. That'll be a pretty boring game. Marshall better win that game.
You would hope.
Got to. Of course, Tech travels to FIU. We'll talk more about it in the next segment with Pete Pellegrin, the play-by-play voice for FIU football, basketball, and baseball. He'll be joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
That game will be on ESPN3 at 6 o'clock.
ESPN3.
Not many people know this. I had to tell this to a couple of friends of mine because they were trying to find the game. ACC Network is usually carried by the same people that carry the American Sports Network here in Louisiana. So the game was
delayed.
Already started. Oh, I mean, the broadcast was delayed for them, but the game had already started. Anybody who doesn't know, ESPN3, it's not required that you have a cable subscription to ESPN. If your internet provider is the right one, you can still watch ESPN3.
Suddenly, in Ruston, Comcast and Monroe, really any major internet provider is going to have a subscription to ESPN3 for you.
Mm-hmm.
So go check that out. Watch ESPN app on your phone as well.
Another fun one, though. Old Dominion at Western Kentucky.
I'm curious about this one because Old Dominion seems to be for real, but I'm not 100% sold on them, and that'll be a test for them to see are they pretenders or are they for real.
A 31-7 loss to at Appalachian State in the second game of the season, a loss to NC State 49-22 in the third game, and from there three wins against UTSA at Charlotte. And then they hosted UMass 2 weeks ago. 36-16 was that final score.
And then the final game of the week is who?
It's UTSA UTEP. UTEP's visiting the Dome.
Well, that won't be pretty.
No. If the trend continues, UTSA could probably put them away pretty easily. Considering they're in the Alamo Dome. If it was at UTEP, I would have to say, maybe not, but the way that the bipolar nature of UTSA has me thinking that it could be ugly.
And, you know, I was not a believer in this, in the Frank Wilson hire by UTSA. The previous LSU recruiting coordinator was Larry Porter, was hired by Memphis. That was a failure of epic proportions as a head coach. I'm beginning to think that's going to be similar to what we see from Frank Wilson. Now, we're only halfway through his inaugural season as a head coach, but I'm just not a believer yet.
He's got half the job done, though.
He's
recruiting
well.
He can get wins at home.
Yeah.
So if he can get wins on the road, then, I mean, maybe he could stick around for a little while longer. But, of course, getting wins at home is only half the job, but at least he's not losing at home, which is an even bigger red flag.
That's fair.
Just you do have to, and I'm gonna not go on my soapbox, but in almost every sport, getting rid of the coach after one and a half years is not going to benefit your team in any way.
It really puts.
But the issue is that teams do it in almost every sport, and I'm a huge soccer fan. They do it in the Premier League almost every year. The longest tenured is a guy who's been at the same team for 20 years. The second longest is like four years. It's just the nature of it. I mean, it doesn't benefit a team.
It's detrimental for your, especially for a college football program.
Because you're bringing in recruits who might not fit that system. The system's changing, so the players that you have there already are struggling to grasp it. And it in the end, it's going to set you back a couple more years that maybe even – getting rid of, I mean, I don't know. I know it's a part of it, but
it's part of the business.
It's more detrimental than it is helpful.
Let's go to the Fairway Carts and Mendon hotline with my friend Monty. Monty, what's going on, my man?
Hey, y'all. Hey, this whole Higgins thing has really been fun to. I mean, he's doing great, so it's even been more fun. But the fun part, in a way, is watching the fans interact. And, you know, the new thing now is, could we have won the Arkansas game had Higgins
exactly
played?
Oh, boy.
And that's hilarious to me. You know, maybe, who knows? But what is funny is Jamar was the man.
He was.
The Arkansas game. And that brought everything on. And then after that, you know, we had the whatever, wasn't SWAC, NEAC game. And that was pretty ridiculous. So, and Higgins didn't have a great night that night.
Nope.
So everybody's ranting and raving that Higgins is not the guy. So then we had the Texas Tech game. And obviously Higgins didn't have a great, he didn't do bad, but it wasn't great. And after that, everybody's still hollering for Jamar. Well, since then, he hadn't done anything wrong. Everything's been great. And, you know, and I understand where those folks are coming from, because he had not done great coming in the past, but he had not gotten a fair shake either.
Sure.
And you know as well as I do, and everybody else does, he was never going to be anything but the starting quarterback.
That's right.
It didn't matter how good Jamar did against Arkansas. He was going to be the man, and probably the most, the greatest moment of Skip's coaching life was when Jamar didn't win the Arkansas game. I mean, think about the pressure that would have been. But anyway, I'm saying all this to say that it's funny to watch the fans. Now, there was never a doubt that Higgins was the man from the start. And I can remember, you know, you saying and several other people saying that he was, you know, he was going to be the starter. Skip was going to call him the starter, and he was going to be that way. But it was funny to watch the fans and how they've changed from the second game. So anyway, I just wanted to put that in. And I'm not sure the guy's doing great. I'm not sure he's ever going to play in the NFL, but he is doing great.
I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. I appreciate you, Monty, joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I agree with that. He could be a practice squad backup quarterback, yeah. But
I don't know. It's one season.
And that's even a little bit of a stretch.
See, the thing is I'm thinking on it back on it now. Bad stats were like his first year on campus. That's unless you're like a five-star recruit. Having bad numbers in your first year at a D1 school is kind of to be expected. And then coming in relief, you're not having consistent tries with the team. It makes sense that he wasn't getting his fair shake, or not playing as well, not getting his fair shake. But about Arkansas, you see the way he played against South Carolina State. He needed a chance to kind of get into a groove.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I honestly don't think it would have made a difference at Arkansas.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, Pete Pellegrin will join us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio talking a little FIU as Louisiana Tech travels to Miami this weekend to take on the Panthers. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.3. Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jonathan Ford, publisher at BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Matt Valcho joining me here in studio. John Tabor producing the show. We're brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. Go see those folks in the historic Rogers Furniture Building for all your interior decorating needs. Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline and talk to Pete Pellegrin, voice of the FIU Panthers. Football, basketball, and baseball, right, Pete?
Yep. How you guys doing?
All right, man. They keep you busy down there in Miami, it sounds like, on the radio waves.
Yeah, it's a 365, well, not 365, because we have the summer off, but yeah, pretty much year-round.
Pete, to talk a little bit about you, you've had an interesting route in this world of sports media. Weren't you a writer first, then you went into the world of SID and radio work?
Yeah, I was the FIU beat writer for the Miami Herald for the first 10 years of the FIU football program, and then parted ways with them and got a job over at FIU basically doing the same thing, but added broadcast duties as well.
How's the transition been? Do you miss the days of being a beat writer?
Absolutely not. It's a dying industry, and we've seen, not to get political, but we've seen in this election cycle how corrupt they are and how biased they are. So thank God I'm out of there, and I'm glad to be doing the broadcast stuff.
We'll just say amen to that, and we'll move on.
Make America great again. There you go.
Good stuff there. Okay, I have nothing but good stuff there. Pete, when we look at go inside the numbers of this FIU team, of course, let go the head coach at the beginning of the year after an 0-4 start. Now the team's 3-0. What's different about this team from the 0-4 start to now the 3-0 start?
Well, you know, the big thing is that interim coach Ron Cooper has kind of reached these guys. You know, he's changed up practice. Practice pretty much was a routine under Ron Turner, and Ron Cooper has brought some energy. Like, for example, in between period 6 and 7 of practice, he just stops practice and he starts the Oklahoma drill. He has players hitting each other. You know, not enough where they're going to get injured, but you put guys in an Oklahoma drill and everybody's around them like a wrestling type of cage match, and everybody's going crazy and there's a lot of energy. You know, football is fun again for these guys. And that's, I think, the biggest thing that you've seen the difference. Of course, you know, it doesn't hurt when you're playing three of the worst Conference USA teams to start the schedule. But you know what? Everybody's got to play those guys. So you got to win those games anyway. So
you got to play. You got to play who's on your schedule. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the biggest difference is just the energy. These guys are having a lot of fun playing football again.
And coming into this for Louisiana Tech, of course, it's the second long road trip in a row for them, and it seems to be a potential trap game for Louisiana Tech. Does it seem like it could be that for you?
You know what? I'm not sure. I haven't really followed the Bulldogs much this year until this week, you know, studying up for them for this game. I will tell you that I think the Louisiana Tech offense is the best offense that FIU is going to see this season, and that's including Indiana and Maryland, who they played in the non-conference part of the schedule. I mean, I'm looking at that La Tech offense, and I just don't see any weakness there.
They're really tough to prepare for. When you have the speed guy on the outside and Carlos Henderson, you've got, of course, Trent Taylor, that he put up a pedestrian 9 catches and 120-something yards last week. And didn't
Yeah, he's awful. Cut him.
Yeah, cut him. He's terrible. He can't get open. And then you have some guys that get open, the bigger receivers like a Connor Smith or a Cam McKnight. And then Ryan Higgins just gets the job done, gets the ball to him. And then, of course, Jared Kraft, the running back, is just doing marvelously back there in the backfield. They are a very tough matchup for a defense. Where do you see the strength of this FIU defense?
Well, the strength of the FIU defense is certainly the linebackers. I mean, they have three all-conference caliber linebackers in Trayvon Williams, Anthony Wentz, who's the CUSA Defensive Player of the Week, and Davison Coleman. And then you also throw in Vontarius West, who is a converted cornerback turned linebacker, because he's got enough size to do that. Kind of a hybrid almost. And that's the strength. Now, here's the issue with the FIU defense. They have allowed more than 200 yards rushing in a game in 5 of the 7 games they've played this year. They've had trouble stopping the run. And, you know, if Kraft gets going and then you have Higgins and the other two receivers, Taylor and Henderson, it could be a long day if they can't stop the run.
And let's flip the script and go to the offensive side of the ball for the Panthers. Where's their strength there?
Their strength offensively of late has been the running game. I mean, they have two talented running backs, and Alex Gardner and Anthony Jones. They're not really big guys. I mean, Gardner is about 5'9", generously listed at 180. And Jones about 5'9 as well, closer to 200, but you know, they're not going to blow any guys off the ball, but they're very shifty. They find the holes. They're smart runners, and the offensive line has really come on of late. Last week, Charlotte, knowing that, you know, put 8-9 guys in the box and stopped the run, and then it was up to quarterback Alex Magoo and the receivers to, you know, pull one out in the fourth quarter for FIU.
If I remember correctly, Alex Magoo had a pretty good game last year against Louisiana Tech. And Tech has struggled stopping the pass this year. Is that a matchup to watch?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially the last couple of games when number one receiver Thomas Owens has really come on. He had 148 yards and 11 catches last week, 7 for 125 the week before. And he's a guy that, you know, you could put two guys on him and Magoo will still throw it up and Owens will find a way to get the ball. And you can't forget about Jonnu Smith, you know, a tight end who's probably FIU's top NFL draft pick coming up in April. I mean, that's who the NFL scouts are out at practice every day to see. He's basically a receiver playing tight end. Like I like to compare him a lot to Shannon Sharp of the Broncos back in the day. You know, he's not that wide body that's going to block two or three guys in the running game, but, you know, they got him at tight end, and he's going to be a guy that can stretch the defense or he can hurt you underneath.
Well, I can promise you every Louisiana Tech fan that's listening just took a huge sigh because tight ends have been the kryptonite of Louisiana Tech for a really long time. And you're right. Jonnu Smith is maybe the best tight end in Conference USA, a very talented guy at 6'3", about 235. What matchup do you see being FIU's biggest place to exploit Louisiana Tech?
As far as offensively, you mean?
Either one. Either side
okay,
of the ball.
I think offensively, if the Panthers can get that passing game going and pull out, I think La Tech may start with 8 or 9 in the box to try to stop Gardner and Jones from running the ball like Charlotte did last week. I think if FIU can get the passing game going and soften up that La Tech defense, then I think FIU will be able to score some points and battle in this one.
How has the FIU offensive line done against pressure blitzing teams this far?
It's hard to tell because Magoo is kind of mobile back there, and he can run. I mean, he's got 3 rushing touchdowns this year, and 2 of them have been from 20 yards out. He's not a guy that runs a 4.3 40, but he's pretty shifty back there, and he's a big kid. He's about 6'4", 220, 225, so he's not easy to bring down. And, you know, he surprised the heck out of me last week at Charlotte with his 19-yard touchdown run. It looked like he was about to be sacked, and he made a couple of moves on a couple of 49er defenders. So where'd that come out of, you know? So I think it's hard to tell how the O-line so far has done against the blitz. Magoo has taken some sacks, but at the same time, he's not a statue back there.
That sounds a little bit like Ryan Higgins. Ryan Higgins is probably more athletic and probably faster than Magoo, but he doesn't look it. You don't look at the guy and say, oh, he can beat you with his legs, but he's kind of sneaky athletic is kind of the term that I like to use for quarterbacks. I always try to get everybody that comes on and previews the Tech's opponent to give a prediction. Let's hear what you've got.
I think it's going to be a tight game. I think FIU is riding that momentum of a 3-game win streak. There should be a better crowd than there normally is. It is homecoming, although La Tech's not the type of team you schedule for a homecoming, but that's just the way the schedule worked out. Score-wise, I mean, Las Vegas has got this almost like a top 25 team against an also-ran play, and I think the spread's, what, 16, 17 or something like that?
Yeah, 16 and a half today with an over-under of 66.
Yeah, I think it may be under that. you know what, I'm over to the homer, and I'll predict FIU in an upset 34-33.
I'm with you. I think it's going to be close, and I, like I said, I think this could be a little bit of a trap game because of the travel and Louisiana Tech has struggled stopping the pass, and whenever you've got a guy like Alex Magoo and Jonnu Smith, it's a tough matchup to match up with.
The thing that I see is if FIU can control the La Tech run, where that has been FIU's Achilles heel this year as far as defensively, then I like my chances. I like their chances with the corners. FIU's a couple of big corners in Emmanuel Lubin and Isaiah Brown, 6'3", 6'2", corners, who have played well all year, and I think those are the guys that are going to stick to Henderson and Taylor.
Really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue, Pete, and look forward to talking to you soon in about basketball, maybe.
You got it. Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Pete. Pete Pellegrin joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, the voice of the FIU Panthers on the radio. Good stuff from Pete. I don't disagree with him.
No. And
I think Tech wins, but I think it's going to be a much closer and probably too close for comfort for Louisiana Tech fans.
It's like we've been saying, it is the trap game, the long distance trip, like he said, I mean, sure, they hadn't been great opponents, but momentum is momentum. Whenever you're feeling it, even against lesser opponents, I mean, that can still work in your favor. So there's a lot of factors that are working against Louisiana Tech, but of course, you've also got these insane numbers just put up by Tech's offense. So it is really pretty close. Like, as much as I don't want to admit it, it is a trap game, and it is extremely close.
The footballstudyhall.com has this as an 84% chance for Tech to win, has FIU as the 121st ranked team, and Tech is the 57th ranked team. A margin of victory of 17, so they agree with Vegas. These nerds at footballstudyhall.com, they go inside the statistics. So they've got a score prediction of 42-25, so we'll call it 43-26 as close as they've got decimal points, which of course is not possible on the football field. very close to that over-under.
They just don't take into consideration the human aspect. You look at the stats,
emotions,
but the emotions, the like we said,
wear and tear on your body on a long road trip.
There's a lot more factors than that, which makes that a little bit misleading to me.
I do think the news of Dancy on this team, the way that they're rallying behind Dancy, that's going to help them with momentum of their own. And
the way they react to that will help determine how the rest of the season's going to go.
Let's not forget that this team is how many points from being undefeated, lost by one at Arkansas, 14 at Texas Tech, and by four at Middle Tennessee.
Those are close games. Well, Texas Tech wasn't really close, but
no,
an upset against Arkansas at the beginning of the year, that, I mean,
so you're five,
like we're talking about momentum, that could have totally shifted the season.
You're 5 points from being 6-1.
A one-loss team. It's, I mean, you can talk about what ifs all day, but that's,
it's hard. It's hard not to go with the nerds.
No, it's hard not to look at and to consider what could have been. But that's
it. It isn't.
That's too close.
What could have been isn't.
Yeah.
Let's take this break. On the side of the break, we'll continue our breakdown of FIU Louisiana Tech here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Matt Valcho and John Tabor joining me here in the studio, keeping this thing on the rails.
Barely.
Barely. Or like an out-of-control train.
What else do you expect?
What else would you expect out of me to be talking out of both sides of my mouth? Here I said I thought it'd be close, but you look deeper into these numbers of this FIU team. They lost. Lost to UMass.
Against a team that Tech just put up 56-28.
They lost to them 21-13.
450 yards from Higgins. And FIU, I mean.
And Central Florida scored 53 on them at home, 53-14. Now, that was before the coaching change. I get that.
That's all about momentum again.
They've beat Florida Atlantic, who
yippee
is bad. Beat them 33-31. Beat UTEP, who's also bad. Tech didn't play real well against those guys. 35-21. Charlotte, 27-26. The teams they've beaten are bad.
And two of them have been by only two or one point.
And the other one was by 14. UTEP. which Tech beat by 14 as well, wasn't it 28-14?
Yes.
So when you take in those common opponents thing, you take in that Tech played UTEP at home. They played them on the road and beat them by 14. Tech,
no, it was 28-7. Tech.
So Tech beat them by 21.
Yeah.
And then UMass, that's the game that's so lopsided that Tech, obviously, I just took care of business against them. Now, UMass defensively, without those linebackers, a different team. I grant that point as well. They weren't very good defensively. You know, anytime you give up 56, you're not very good defensively.
No, and it seemed like
or 49,
another guy was on the floor almost every series.
Wasn't that unbelievable?
That's injury bug is biting some teams. UMass won. Tennessee is one as well, but
yeah, when it bites hard.
It, yeah, you can't get it out.
But the more I dive into these numbers, I feel better about this game. But like you said, the thing that Vegas doesn't know, and it's hard to take into account, are those long road trips back to back, momentum of an opponent that may look like an inferior opponent, even though against some lesser competition. It's hard to quantify that whenever they're crunching their numbers to come up with their lines.
It's easy to see those numbers that Tech put up against UMass and just
this will be
completely lose it.
Yeah,
and not even just for this game, but for the rest of the season. Like, oh man, there's no way that Tech could lose another game because just look at how well Higgins is throwing the ball and Henderson is getting so many yards and so many touchdowns. It's easy to lose sight of what could really happen. It's easy to just blow everything up and to expect greatness every game. It was a great performance by that entire offense, and even though Coach Holtz wasn't satisfied, I mean, that was turnovers and things like that, but the number
he actually said, I was ready to lambast them until I looked at the stats and realized that we put up 690 yards of offense.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's easy to look at that and just completely lose it, but all it takes is one game for that momentum to just go off the rails. Because who's to say that FIU doesn't just come out and pop the bubble that Tech is sitting on right now? And that, I mean, momentum and non-statistical factors are hard to predict. And that's why we're probably so bad at making our predictions, is because, I mean, you never know.
You don't. The matchup that concerns everybody that knows anything about Louisiana Tech is that Jonnu Smith, the tight end, against Louisiana Tech. Once Tech starts dialing up more blitzes and gives quarterbacks less time to find tight ends are typically not your first option, or they're not their routes sometimes take a little bit longer to develop. They're not your quick hitters. That helps Tech if they're going to keep dialing up the pressure.
And the way that it worked this past week, you wouldn't put it past them to just keep doing it. I mean, whatever works.
Just ride the hot hand.
Because that defense does need an identity. That defense needs something that
they don't have much one works. Right now.
So maybe blitzing is what they're going to have to go to next. I mean, it's something has to change.
We talked about the Vegas line has it at 16.5 with an over-under of 66. Massey has it 18-point Tech favorite, right at 66 total points, 42-24. And as we talked about, football study hall, all these nerds and all their numbers, 43-26. Right, everybody's close. 17-point margin, 18-point margin, 16.5-point margin. The line in Vegas opened as a Tech 14.5-point favorite. It's up to a 16-point favorite on the book that opened it. Actually, it opened at 14.5, went to a 16 on the coast line. So that's everybody's in pretty in agreement. It's either 16 or 16.5 across the board in Vegas. I don't know how those guys get it right so often, but they're rarely wrong. They do it because they make money at it. That's why they're rarely wrong. Other side of the break, we'll give our predictions on what we see happening Saturday in Miami as Louisiana Tech takes on the FIU Panthers on ESPN3, or the Watch ESPN app on your smartphone or tablet. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. We're brought to you each and every week by Trenton Interiors on South Trenton Street in the historic Rogers Furniture Building in downtown Ruston. Beautiful old building, store. They got all great stuff for your house. Give us a call on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline. How do you see this FIU game playing out? Is this a trap game for Louisiana Tech? Do they need to be extra careful to avoid the upset? Let's get to a couple of questions from the Bleed Tech Blue message, bleedtechblue.com message board. Then we'll get into our predictions later in the segment before we end this thing. We have 13 minutes left.
All right, let's power through it. So, not really a question, but just before we really get into a question, how about injury updates?
Injury updates, I believe Marcus Gaines will be out. He got hurt against UMass. He will be out. Then also Courtney Wallace, of course, he's being redshirted this year after his foot surgery before the season began. I think that's about it. The rest, everybody else is ready to go. I mean, Ephraim Kitchen saw time against UMass, looked really good. A guy that I've been expecting something from all year, but you talk about that injury bug. He's had it bite him.
Yeah, no, at this point, did he make that big of a difference at the beginning of the year compared to now? Whenever he's been out for,
well, he really only played a portion of the Arkansas game before he went out hurt again.
Yeah,
so he missed last year with an injury, and then was nursing a groin injury during fall camp, and then he went out against Arkansas and re-aggravated it.
Some guys just can't catch a break.
It seems like his story.
All right, another question here. There was an increase in turnovers this week. Is there any reason for that, or was it just a lapse in focus?
You know, I don't think it's a reason to be concerned yet, and until you see it repeated. I don't know whether you credit to lack of focus or whether it was another team making a play. Now the throw to Henderson that was picked off was underthrown. That was a poor throw. But like we discussed earlier in the show, if you ask a guy to throw the ball 40 something times a game, he's bound to throw a bad one or two.
It's about time.
Yeah. 200 something in a row without an interception.
All right. Who else? Tech seemed to finally put a team away. Was this game a turning point for the season?
That's actually a pretty good question. I think we'll know more about that this week. If they are able to put FIU away, a team that they should be able to put away.
And continuing the numbers.
Yeah.
If you continue to put up those numbers and put the team away, then it's definitely a turning point, because you're going to ride that momentum.
Because you look at the teams that Tech has left on the schedule. Outside of Southern Miss, there's not much of a challenge on paper the rest of the way. It's take care of business, do your jobs, execute the plays, and you should be able to get away with the next four teams with a W.
I'm pretty sure I saw that all except for Southern Miss, almost every team left on the schedule is either below 100 or pretty close to being below 100 in yards allowed a game.
Have to be.
It's if it's not all of them, it's pretty close. And it, because I know for this week, FIU is 101st in total defense in the nation.
That's a pretty bad number. Yeah,
it's not good.
Total offense, they're 104th. Rushing defense, they're 105th. Turnover margin, they're 116th. Red zone defense, they're 107th. There's a lot of hundreds in there. It's not good. Let's go ahead and cut the questions off of that, unless you got one more good one. We good?
I mean, Somebody asks if there's any notion that we may run the ball more, but
I don't
think so at all.
I like the mix right now.
I mean, it makes sense to mix things up, but whenever you've got a team playing as well as they are, why ruin that?
Now, I think there was some fair points that can't remember. I think it was a UTEP game. They got away from the run probably too much.
Yeah.
And that's why that game was a little closer than it probably should have been. You can't do that again.
No.
Got to mix it up a little bit better.
Because there is a point where you become too predictable. With the numbers that Higgins is putting up and the numbers that Henderson and Taylor are putting up, it's obvious that Tech is passing the ball, and teams that they are going to come up against for the rest of the year got to know they're going to be prepared to try to fight the pass.
I thought Pete made an interesting point. Pete Pellegrin, the play-by-play voice for FIU, that he thought that one of FIU's corners would be on Trent Taylor. I don't see it happening.
No.
And so many of these guys don't realize that Trent Taylor is exclusively a slot receiver. You're not putting a cornerback on a slot receiver. It just doesn't happen.
Put your two best guys on Taylor and Henderson. I mean, maybe it would do something, but I mean, at that point, you would hope that Higgins would be able to distribute it to other guys, and that's probably the biggest concern for the rest of the year, is that he becomes too reliant on Taylor and Henderson.
Because that's one thing that makes Tech's offense so tough to stop is, do you pull, especially in FIU's case, you've got three good linebackers. Do you pull a linebacker off the field to slide one of your corners to the slot and put another corner on the field? You're not going to do that and pull your three best defenders off the field. So they're going to try to match up with him in a zone, more than likely with a linebacker. Good luck to you. That's all I can say.
I mean, Trent Taylor's shown that he can take it.
If you're a linebacker, you can't cover the kid.
No.
Can't do it.
That's why he's had as much success as he has, is no team can figure out how to cover him.
Well, Matt, you should have stuck with your original prediction last week.
Yeah, no.
You said 49-17 last week.
To 42. I felt bad going that high.
You did. We kind of guilted you into it, but you were on the money. I was at 42-24. Tabor, you were close as well, 34-13. I guess, yeah, I was kind of I kind of was the closest at 42-24.
What was the final again?
It was 56-28.
I guess I was kind of close in the spread,
yeah,
but much more scoring.
Yeah, for sure. John, how do you see this one playing out?
Until you delved into some of those numbers, especially within FIU's ineptitude in offense, I was thinking you'd see about a 17-point game, but I feel like Tech, if they can get out, just get a quick bam-bam off the right out of the gate in the first quarter, you know, get a 10-0 or a 14-0 lead, it changes the complex of the game. I'm 42-17.
That's probably pretty close. What did we discuss? Was the line 16?
16.5.
With an over under of 66.
So I think I still got it underneath the under.
I think Florida International covers, and the under is probably the under.
Yeah, I don't know, especially it. Sort of a scoring hangover is what I'm expecting. The week after putting up 56 points, I mean, you would hope that they would keep that consistency, but like we've harped on this entire show, is the travel and the momentum, and it's going to be hard for Tech to even put up close to 56 again. So I'm thinking probably in
What did you say again, John, so that Matt can write this down?
42-17 Tech.
42-17.
Man, that's
I'm really close to you.
Yeah, that seems pretty much about it. I don't know if they'll break. Well, they probably could and probably will break 40, but I'm going to play it safe and say 36-13.
I'm really close to you, to everybody.
It's hard to go against the Vegas numbers.
It really. I've learned my lesson, and John has too over all these years.
I'm kind of perplexed that the over is that high at 66 with only a 16-point spread. So that tells me they feel like FIU is going to score,
yeah,
probably at least three touchdowns, and I just do not see it. But then again, I'm not.
You're not a prognosticator.
I'm not an odds maker either.
I'm going to go 42-24. That's actually Tech covering.
That would hit the over right on the dot too. Yeah. Correct.
Just got to be different.
I got to be 42-24. That's an 18-point Tech victory. I'm actually going right on Massey this week. They get better and better as the season goes on. They had what was their prediction last week? It was 42-24 last week. So they were pretty close. No, they weren't that close to the margin of victory either. I'm going to go 42-24. Jason can't participate this week. But do I win last week at 42-24? If you predict the same score over and over again, eventually you're going to get close.
You know what the definition of insanity is?
Doing the same thing over and over again, exactly. and expecting different results.
It's going to drive you insane.
That's too late.
I just don't want to hear Jason try to brag about how right he was, even though his score is not on the paper.
We might need to get him to text him and see if he'll put it in. We'll put it in for posterity for next week.
No, because then he can he'll try to tell us, oh yeah, you guys were way off, but
that's not Jason's
where's
personality.
Your score?
That's not Jason's personality.
No, but just good to have it anyway.
Good stuff. Come check us out at BleedTechBlue.com. We'll have game week coverage. Matt and I will do our edge piece that we do every week. We're getting pretty good at that, if I don't say so myself.
I'm glad that we split up offense, defense, and sticking with it, because I have a better understanding of what's going on. Just being able to compare it from week to week. It
helps us to stick with the same side of the ball. For John Tabor, Matt Valcho, I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. We'll be back same time, same place next week right here on ESPN Radio 97.7 for BleedTechBlue Radio.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Walpole Tire, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.